Our scripture reading for this morning is in 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. And in the Pew Bible, this begins on page 369. So, 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Listen to this. This is the word of God. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might permit no one to go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord in the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "There is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending you silver and gold. Go, break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timbers, with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. Now, at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks of prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon some of the people at the same time. The acts of Asa, from first to last, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In his 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in the tomb that he had cut for himself in the city of David. They laid him on a bier that had been filled with various kinds of spices prepared by the perfumer's art, and they made a great fire in his honor. And that is the reading of the Word of God. In 2002, Dr. Richard Gaffin was going to be installed in a new chair that they had set up at Westminster Seminary. He was going to be professor of systematic and biblical theology, combining those talents together. And at that inauguration, you might say, Sinclair Ferguson was one of the speakers, and he was exhorting Dr. Gaffin to faithfulness. And this is what he said. This is what Sinclair Ferguson said. He got this from a former teacher of his. Shocking words of exhortation. "Richard, few great men finish well." Now, he was not putting a curse upon my friend. And we might want to soften that a little bit and say, okay, there are many who do not finish well. But it is, as a matter of fact, the truth that so many who have arrived at some reputation at being seekers after the Lord retreat to depend upon themselves and their own strength. Now, we're not saying it's because suddenly they were struck with some brain tumor. We're not saying this is the manifestation of some kind of Alzheimer's or there's some sort of illness that is taking the... No, we're just talking about the retreat from the profession, my strength is from the Lord. A retreat back to that from which we have come. My strength is found in my own resources. It's like an alcoholic who for years would be off the bottle and then suddenly retreats from sobriety and going back. That's what we're talking about. God is my strength. I leave it behind and return to I am my strength. This is what happened to Asa. We're going to look at Asa for a moment and then we're going to look at us. And then we're going to come and look at the Son of God, who is our only hope to keep us from retreating. And here's Asa. Asa had once depended upon the Lord his God. When Zerah the Ethiopian, with a million people in his army, came up against Asa, Asa prayed to God, and this is what he said, "Lord, no one beside you can give help when the mighty come against the weak. Help us. We rely on you." And God helped him. And for that trust, the prophet on that day, Azariah, said to him, "The Lord is with you." And in response, Asa rose up and put away all the idols from the land that the people had been worshiping. He had all the people gathered together with him, and they swore that they were going to have a covenant together to seek God with all their heart and with all their soul. And he even dethroned the queen mother, because she was an idol worshiper. Oh, he had a reputation as being one who depended upon the strength of God. And then, time went by. That's all. The end of chapter 15 says, and there was no more war. Until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Now, of course, there were these skirmishes. No, it wasn't total peace. There were some battles to be fought on some minor scale, but nothing serious. There's peace. Peace and time and more time, and something happened. Now, we're not told how this happened. Was it as abrupt as it suddenly appears in this text? Was it abrupt like there's a crisis of faith? Where he had grown so used to times of peace, decades are going by, and then suddenly, Baasha is on the horizon there and causing trouble. Is he having a crisis and saying, "Oh no, what happened? Where is God when I really need him?" Is that what's going on here? I don't know. It seems to me the text is telling us it's more like a slow seeping away of trust in God, because everything is going fine. I envision Asa getting up in the morning, having a great day. It's good to be king. Everybody's waiting on you. That's good. The end of the day, he looks out. It's been a good day. I like this. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot to seek God today. Made a covenant I was going to seek the Lord. Oh, well. Nothing went wrong today. It's okay. Then a week goes by. And the next thing you know, there has been a retreat back to one's own strength. And one is no longer depending upon the strength of God and seeking God. Now, I don't know which way it was. I don't know if it was the sudden crisis, the slow seepage. I tend to prefer the slow seepage because of the emphasis our text puts on time. But the day comes when he wakes up, and now he is sold out completely. He has returned to the dilemma of the human being. I can handle this by myself. And if I can't handle it by myself, then the guy next to me who is a little stronger, he can handle it for me. So instead of a covenant, there's supposed to be a deliberate contrast here. Instead of that covenant that we read about in the last chapter, a covenant to see God, now he revises the old covenant that had been made by his fathers with the king of Syria. See, not a covenant after God, but a covenant after men. Oh, and hear how shaky this is. Oh, Ben-Hadad, you entered into a covenant with this Baasha. Break that covenant and honor mine. What kind of hope are you going to have in a guy who would do that? Boy, am I glad God isn't like that. Can you imagine? I would like to have this job. My neighbor is also praying to you for that very same job. Listen, I will give you a tenth of my income if you give me this job. The neighbor is praying, I'll give you 15%. And you say, I would give you 20%. What kind of a God is that? That you can't trust him. If you can bribe anybody, somebody will come along with more money and bribe him. God doesn't answer bribes. He is totally righteous. He answers your prayers and my prayers on the basis of his own righteousness. This is the God who can't be bribed. You know why? Because the ultimate price has already been paid by his son. You can't up that. That's already been given to secure that covenant with him. So I'm so glad that God isn't like Ben-Hadad. But we see the turn in Asa. He goes around now. He turns away from God to seek help from a man who lacks integrity, Ben-Hadad. But listen to this story goes on. It's like the turning away from God's strength to human strength is complete. When the prophet exposes Asa's sin, he persecutes the prophet. And then 4 years later, king has got diseased feet. His personal health is going. Do you think he's going to ask God for some assistance? No. Only the doctors. Only the physician. There will be no prayers to God. It's complete now. Boy, I picture him sitting there, unable to move and walk around, pulling his robe close to him. A mean, self-centered old man. That's the impression I get here. That prophet, Azariah, had warned him. He said, if you seek God, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. There's Asa. How sad. So, what do you think? Where are we here? Where are you and I? I remember when I was a freshman in college, our freshman class was told that we had to take gym class. They called it PHIAD or PE or something like that, but it's gym class. That's basically it. We had some guys in the freshman class who had just come out of the military. And I remember overhearing some of the conversations between these ex-soldiers and Gene Gladden, the coach, who was in charge of the gym classes. And the young men, all in their prime, with such strength, would say, 2 months ago, before I enrolled here, I was running 5 miles before breakfast. Do I have to take gym class? Huh? Coach Gladden would say back to them, the fact that you were in shape last month doesn't mean you are going to be in shape next month. You can't point back to your physical strength and claim it for today. Staying healthy in your body is daily. And if it's not, you will return to your former state. I may have told you some years ago when I was a little kid, I saw on television an interview with all of the living former Tarzan actors. Now, Elmo Lincoln was not among them. I know that you were asking that right away in the back of your minds. He was the very first Tarzan in 1929, but he was dead. But Johnny Weissmuller was there. And actually, my all-time favorite, Jacques Mahoney, he was there. And Gordon Scott was there. I don't think Lex Barker was there. He had legal, moral problems. I don't know. But I do think there were three, four or five on stage. They were on stage, all right. They waddled onto the stage. Huh? Each one had returned to the former state. You know, the way someone looks like when you're a baby. Huh? The Tarzans? Huh? No, I don't think they stood up one day and said, you know what? I'm tired of being physically strong. I think I'm going to give up. And I'm just going to let myself go to pot. I don't think they do that. I think what happens is it comes gradually, letting go and going back. Now, I can see this with men, because men are kind of blind to changes. A woman will walk by a mirror and look at herself and say, is that a gray hair that I see there? Huh? Are there wrinkles here? You know, men walk by mirrors and they say, you got it, don't you? Huh? You're still there. Huh? Look at that, huh? And it's not until the hair is all gone, huh? And he flexes his arm, there's nothing there anymore. Then suddenly he goes, what happened? Huh? It didn't just happen, huh? There is that slow seepage of what you were going to seek. So what do you think? Let's not talk about America. We could, perhaps. But let's just talk about us here. So, are we like Tarzan actors, do you think? Like soldiers just out of the military? Like King Asa? You were seeking God. And time went by. And you got used to things going pretty well. We're not talking about people losing their salvation. We're talking about people losing their love. And if the love can't be rekindled, then they never were saved. Huh? Salvation, the deliverance from sin and death, the deliverance from our own weakness, our former state of weakness, that has been accomplished by our union with Jesus Christ. We are able to persevere because we are united to Christ, the one who perseveres. So we turn from Asa, we turn from ourselves, and now we look at Christ. Listen to this. You can hear his steadfastness in Luke 13. He says, I cast out demons and I perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I reach my goal. I must journey on today and tomorrow and the next day, for it cannot be that a prophet would perish outside Jerusalem. Now, of course, he enters into Jerusalem being thought to be a prophet by the people, and he is indeed a prophet, but he is going into Jerusalem as the priest to offer up himself. He's going to be the king who will give himself as the representative for his people. His determination is set. He is going to make atonement. He perseveres. He cannot be stopped even by his own human nature weakness as he weeps in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cannot be deterred from that course. He is the one who perseveres for our redemption. This is why the scripture can say he is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. He's the one who begins a good work in us, and he's going to bring it to completion. And we who are united to him, we will persevere with him. Let us speak to our hearts. If our hearts have not been seeking him daily, let us lay hold of the perseverance of Christ and know this. There may be few great men who finish well, but the greatest, the Son of God, finished well and brings us in union with him to that end. And because he's the author and the finisher, that is one reason why we call this good news. Now, do you believe that? Oh, amen. Come, let's believe this together. Our Father and our God, may your Holy Spirit examine us, and if we have lost our first love, kindle again by your Spirit the flames of our appreciation and our gratitude and our joy in Christ. If we have been slack, then here we are before the table of the Lord, remembering our union with the one who would not stop until he had secured life for us. Now, renew us in our humble walk with him today and tomorrow and the days to come. This is what we ask. It's supernatural, but we're asking with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen.